after some of you were already in here, and I apologize for that. I am so excited. While they're passing out the rocks, I'm going to tell you that I am so excited about what God is doing in this conference for His people. In prayer ministry, we truly believe that prayer is the ministry. We take people to the feet of Jesus. We pray that God will bring people to His feet. It works both ways. Prayer is an incredible and an awesome thing. And when we start utilizing the power that God has in the prayer that He wants, the power is not in the prayer. The power is in the Holy Spirit as we ask God to give us His Spirit to work through us and to do the things. He has done some incredible things already for us in prayer ministry in this conference. And I think the last time I was here, I had talked to you about a man who was incarcerated up here. Remember this gate that goes back and forth from Mexico where they stop everybody and they investigate your cars? He was stopped. He was put in jail, and he was there for a very long time. And the Lord had put on my heart a burden to pray for that young man. And as I prayed for him, he was released. Well, let me tell you today, prayer is ministry because that man is free. But I had another phone call this morning from a friend who said, please pray for this person. She has been put into jail. Her husband had a chemical plant in his house. Now, you know what that means. He was making methamphetamines. And she was not involved in it. She's not on drugs, but she has three children, and they've been taken from her. She's in jail, and she's going to be charged with child endangerment and with allowing these drugs to take place in her house. There's a whole other side to this story, but the Lord has put it on my heart for us to begin to pray in ministry for this woman. God wants to claim her for His kingdom. Do you believe that? He wants her there. And I'm going to call her Mary, and I'm going to ask you, every chance you get, as the Holy Spirit impresses you, to pray for Mary, because Mary is in jail tonight. And we want God to work on Mary's heart to do something, to put people in her path so that He can truly speak to her and she can know that she is special, that she is valued, because right now she feels she has no value. So will you do that with me this weekend? And Monday she has an arraignment, and I would like, again I'm going to ask tomorrow for our church to pray for her, but I would like to ask you in your free time over the next few hours to really commit Mary to prayer, because God loves Marys. And Mary is just one person representative of many people in our community. Now, if everybody but me still has a rock, I want to tell you what the significance of that rock is. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Who is God beside the Lord? Who is the rock besides our God? And there's tons and tons of verses in Scripture that tell me that God is just as solid as any rock in any of these mountains, that He cannot be moved, that He is the same today, tomorrow, and forever, and that He does not change. And what I want to do is I want you to open up your Bibles now. We're going to do our first exercise. In prayer ministry, one of the things that we feel a burden for is that our people get back to God's Word. God has given us His Word, and in His Word He has put many wonderful promises. And I know that Pastor Derek is going to talk about those promises through the weekend. And you are going to hear them every chance we get, because God's promises are prayer principles. And we're going to incorporate prayer principles into everything we do so that you will be so excited when you leave from these 2 days of spending time with God and starting to apply these principles to the prayers in your life. You're going to see power. You're going to see God do great and tremendous things as you do this. And the first verse that I want to use for Scripture is Christ is my rock. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. Does everybody have one of these cards? If you don't have a card, you can, somebody will pass it. Raise your hand and someone will pass it out real quick. If you don't have a card, someone will pass it out real quick. But you can open your Bible or you can read off of this card if you didn't bring your Bible. And I want to ask one of our prayer coordinators to come up here. Sonia, are you back there? Sonia helps me with this usually. But what I want to do is I want you to focus on this scripture. As you come to Him, the living stone, think how God is your rock. Rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him. You also, like living stones, God is talking about me. He's talking about you. You also, like living stones, just like God. Now, is everybody getting a rock? And I want you to hold this rock in your hand and just be reminded how immovable our great God is. How much like a rock He truly is. You also, like a living stone, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And what I want you to do is to pray. Take 1 minute to pray over this verse. And then when you finish praying over this verse, I want you to turn to the person next to you, your spouse or the person on the other side. Share it with someone else. You might already know what your spouse will say, but share it with someone else. We're going to ask God to show us how to live in His presence, because that's what Christian living is all about, living constantly in God's presence no matter where we are or what our circumstances. That we also may become like living stones built into spiritual houses. And so I want you to ask yourself, how is God my rock? And then ask God what He's truly saying to you as He wants you to be built into a living stone. How does He want to do this? And you might also ask yourself, what does God want me to get from this weekend? What do I need to learn? What do I need to hear from Him as I experience His presence here this weekend? And then ask God how He wants you to apply that to your life. So, Sonia, would you come up here? This text says, as you come to Him, the living stone, what names of God remind you of a living stone?
It's my rock. There's so many. But basically, He's my rock. I can cling to my rock, and my rock is immovable. And that is probably more what I think of than anything.
He will set my feet on a firm, on a solid rock, on a firm place to stand. I can stand on a big, fat rock out there that is symbolic of what Christ would have me stand on, and it will not move. I will be safe, and I will be in a safe place. That's how God is my rock. And God has many names that allude to Him as being the rock. He states that you also, like a living stone, are being built. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
If you notice the rocks, they've been polished, and He takes, and we're, when we start out, we're all rough. You know, you hear about rough diamonds and everything, and He starts smoothing us and making us into the shape He wants us. Like the potter molds the clay, He's molding us as a living rock, and I just praise Him for that.
Sonia, would you pray for me that God would be my rock?
Mm-hmm.
And that He would help me to experience His presence here this weekend. And that He would hear the desires of my heart, even the ones that are unspoken.
Mm-hmm.
And that I would grow to be like Him, to reflect the shininess and the polishedness that He has.
Our wonderful Father, thank You that we're here tonight. In Your presence, Lord God, You've heard Karen's request that You will take her and polish her into the living stone You want, dear Lord God, not an old gray dirty stone sitting in the middle of a highway somewhere, dear Lord God, getting kicked around and ignored, but one that You are working on, dear Lord God, that You're working on her heart and making her into the person You want her to be. Lord God, there's something this weekend that Karen needs to hear, something Karen needs to learn, and we ask You, please, send Your Holy Spirit to her and let her learn that. Father God, we ask you please to be with each one of us and let us do that. Father, let us learn what you want us to learn and be able to carry that on forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now I would like for each of you to take that verse and to spend maybe 2 minutes. Pray for each other. Share what you want God to do with you this weekend and how you want God to polish you. And whatever special message the Holy Spirit has for you that he wants you to pray about, it's between you and him. Have that person sitting next to you pray that for you right now.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way. Thank you, Father in heaven, for hearing the prayers of your people. We know that when we ask in Jesus' name, that you hear our prayers with joy. You've said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I pray in Jesus' name that you would fill our hearts with joy tonight as we realize what a wonderful Savior you are. Lord Jesus, in your holy name we pray. Amen. Well, good evening. Happy to be with you tonight and to share with you during the next few hours. And I was looking at the time here, and I realized I was out running, Pastor Neary, at 5:30 this morning. So I must still be on East Coast time. And so it's about time to go to bed. So if you promise not to take a nap, I won't take a nap, okay? And we'll try to stay focused here for about 40 minutes till we're done. I want to teach you a song this evening. I was excited to see you have a Bible in your front of your pew there. I'd like you to take that Bible out, would you? It's a red Bible. And turn to page 793. In the past, I don't know, used to say 10 years, now it must be 15. My wife has been writing scripture songs, and we've been hiding God's Word in our hearts, and we're going to share some of that this weekend, because God's Word is a defense against the enemy. And it's just been an amazing journey. Those scripture songs are now heard on 126 Christian radio stations nationwide, Peter. How did God do that? Just regular people. But you'll notice as we start singing, at least as I start singing, that I don't really sing that well. So you'll want to sing with me, okay? And I'm going to teach you a scripture song from Colossians chapter 3. You're on page 793. And this is the New King James. And all of our scripture songs are from the New King James Version of the Bible. So you can just read it right out of the text. And we're going to sing it together. And that's a great way to memorize God's Word, okay? It's Colossians 3:16. And you'll notice how it's phrased. And you can just sing along with me. You'll see the words there. Let's see how it goes. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Repeat that with me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. teaching and admonishing one another. Repeat that. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, it sounds, you sound good tonight. Let's sing it one more time. Try to let the Word of God find a place. You know, the word dwell in the Greek is the verb enoikeo. Oikos means house. En means in. It means to set up house inside of you. Let God's Word take up residence inside of you. That's what we do when we hide God's Word in our heart. And when then we face a challenge, it says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against the enemy. You know what that is? That's God's Word. It's brought to our remembrance. And Jesus was tempted. He didn't say, well, Rabbi Hillel, Rabbi Shammai. No. Jesus said what? Come on, church. Jesus said, it is written. The Spirit of God brought the Word to His remembrance in the time of need. So we want to hide God's Word. Let it dwell in our hearts. And that's what this text is about. So let's try it one more time. Here we go. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Isn't that a precious promise? That the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Well, we want to look at the Word of Christ tonight. And really there's just one idea I want to share with you. So I hope you listen. If you have to take one of those Friday evening naps, take it after I say this. Okay? Listen carefully. One thing I want you to learn this evening. There is someone who needs your prayers. Did you hear me? What did I say? I guess we can have the benediction. And that would be okay. But I want to share with you, I want to illustrate that tonight. There is someone who needs your prayers. Father in heaven, as we open your word and we see the conflict, we see that Satan, the enemy, goes around like a roaring lion, wanting to cause havoc in our lives, in our families, in our communities. Help us to see tonight not only the controversy, but help us to see what you want to do. And then help us to remember there's someone who needs our prayers tonight. And I thank you before this service is over, you will bring those people, that person, to our mind, that our prayers could make a difference for them tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my favorite hobby is studying about the life of Jesus. Sometimes when you look at the life of Jesus, you see some strange things and you wonder what's really going on. If you have your Bible, look with me in Luke chapter 4. Jesus goes to his home church and they don't like his sermon and they throw him out. Actually, they take him to the brow of a hill and they are about to cast him off. The story is recorded in Luke chapter 4. And the Word of God says in Luke 4, verse 28, all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, with anger, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of a hill. I've been to that hill. Not a good place to be thrown off of. That they might throw him down over the cliff. I want to tell you, when you face that kind of situation, when you face that kind of danger, we're not talking about foolishness, presumption, where you put yourself in danger's way, but where you're doing what God has asked you to do and you find yourself in danger. I want to tell you this evening that kung fu is inadequate. Taekwondo is not what God desires. Something happened. It doesn't tell us what happened. It just says, look with me in the text, Luke 4, then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. How did he do that? It just says, passing through the midst of them. Now we know sometimes we like to make people into the enemy, but Jesus made it clear that really people are not the enemy. Who's the enemy? Satan's the enemy. And when Satan uses Peter to try to hinder Jesus from his ministry, Jesus looks past Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And in this situation, it was Satan, it was the kingdom of darkness that was opposing Jesus. And they were trying to use people to kill Jesus. But the text says, and passing through the midst of them, he went his way. How did he do that? Looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. They're ready to make him king, but not the kind of king that Jesus was sent to be. They want an earthly deliverer. And Jesus tells them that his kingdom is not of this world. He's the bread of life. He's not just giving them free lunches, fish and bread. They need to accept him. They find that very difficult to accept. At the end of John chapter 8, the Jews said, you're not yet 50 years old, verse 57 of John 8. And you say you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That's not bad grammar, folks. That's the name of God, Yahweh, I am. Verse 59, then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself. How did he do that? And went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. How did he do that? Doing what the Father had asked him to do, he faced a great challenge. And it wasn't just the religious leaders. Who's the real enemy? Satan was the enemy. And evil angels seeking to oppose Jesus. Pick up stones using willing human instruments. They're about to stone him. And Jesus passed through the midst of them. It's almost kind of humorous. They're like, where did he go? You know what happened back then? Satan tells us what happened. You say, well, can't believe Satan. Jesus called Satan a liar. So forget that. But in this situation, Satan's complaining. So I guess we maybe... He's complaining to God. You find this story in the Old Testament, in the book of Job, chapter 1. If you don't know where Job is, it's right before the Psalms. And by the way, if you find it, just call out the page number. 346, thank you. Page 346 in your pew Bible. The book of Job. Many scholars believe this to be the oldest book of the Bible, written even before the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's a story about a man of God named Job. And I want to just share a brief insight with you from Job chapter 1 and pick up with verse 8. Satan's been complaining and saying, there's nobody down there that follows you. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? You can tell he's complaining. Have you not made a hedge around him? Around his household and around all that he has on every side? I want you to notice what Satan complains here. He says, you've done something for Job. You have put a what? The word Hebrew, the Hebrew word that's used there for hedges, it's like a wall of defense. You put a hedge about him. In fact, not only have you put the hedge about him, if you read the text, you also put it around his family, his household, and around his estate. Huh? By the way, I want to challenge you tonight. You don't just need to consecrate yourself to God, your family. You need to consecrate your property to God too. I want the place where I live to shine as part of God's kingdom, don't you? The saint says, no wonder Job serves you. You put a hedge about him. A hedge? What's that? Well, one thing is for sure, it's important. Because if any of you have read the book of Job, you'll know that something very interesting goes on in the book of Job. And God says, okay, I will remove the what? I'll remove the hedge and he'll still honor me. Now, sir, if you've read the book of Job, what happens when the hedge is removed? What happens? Anybody? Daniel, what happens when the hedge is removed? All hell breaks loose. What happens to Job's property? You say, hey, can't take it with you. But what happens to his sons and daughters? When that hedge is removed, chaos reigns. So what is the hedge? When I was a little boy, I learned a little memory verse in Psalm 34 and verse 7. Some of you know it. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. I want to tell you, Grandma had it right. When Grandma prayed for you, she had it right. She prayed that God would send His angels to protect you, didn't she? You probably wouldn't even be here tonight if it wasn't for Grandma's prayers. She may not have understood that there was a hedge that was going to be built around you. She may not have known what that looked like to the kingdom of darkness, looking and seeing that you had somehow been marked for the kingdom. She may not have understood all of that. She may not have had that doctorate that you were longing for. But she understood that those angels of God were going to take care of her grandson, her granddaughter. I never really understood that until a few years ago, teaching at Southern Adventist University, and maybe even during the time that Daniel was there. Got a phone call about 2 o'clock in the morning from one of my students. And he said, there's something going on in the dorm, really, really serious. I wonder if you could come over. We've got a young man that's got one of these razor box cutters for cutting boxes, and he's slicing himself from his wrist to his elbow. Now, that's not normal behavior, even in Tennessee. And he said, I just wonder if maybe you could come over and pray. Well, it was 2:30 in the morning. I asked my wife if she would be in prayer. Obviously, there was some kind of conflict going on, spiritual conflict. Got in my car, drove the 4 miles through the country, got to that beautiful 1,000-acre green campus, until I wish I was back in Tennessee. And I go into the dorm, and there's a group of students, and they're kneeling in the stairwell, and they're praying. Wonderful thing to see students praying. Do you know that that young man in the neighboring room could see through the wall, and he could see them praying? One of my other students was stirred from his sleep. He realized something was happening in the dorm. Tito slipped to his knees. He said, God, I don't know what's happening here, but I'm praying. That young man who was slicing his arm could see him in his room praying. He said, I felt very uncomfortable. Spiritual warfare. Remember I told you at the beginning, there's someone who needs your prayers. And there we were in the stairwell. We were praying, calling on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, you know, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not just talking about the sweet by and by. Jesus wants to save us right now. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So here we are, 2:30 in the morning, Talch Hall, kneeling down, praying. Finally, a message comes from a young man in the room, saying he wants to see you. And so I go, take a young man named Andrew with me, now a pastor in Tampa, Florida. And we walk into, we've prayed for spiritual protection, by the way. We prayed for the hedge. We walk into the room, and I see this young man, his blood all over his arm, he's sitting on his bed. And I reached out to put my hand on his shoulder, and he kind of slithered away from me. I wish I had time to tell you the whole story, but I asked him, what do you want Jesus to do for you? God brought His Word to my mind. We don't have these set little, you know, okay, what's page 2 say? You've got to be led of the Spirit when you're involved in that kind of controversy. And you know what I found, Pastor? I found whenever we're in that situation, Karen, that it's God's Word that He brings to my mind. God's Word. And I thought of the Word of Jesus to blind Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? So I said to this young man, what do you want Jesus to do for you? He said, help me to forget. I have a question tonight. Can Jesus do that for a young man? Absolutely. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. He says, help me to forget. I kneel down, begin to pray. He slithers like a snake onto the floor and curls up into a fetal position. After we're finished with the prayer, he said to me, will he come back? I said, will who come back? He said, the dark man. Will the dark man come back? I said, how long has the dark man been bothering you? He said, since I was 6 years old, he's come every night. Some of you men ought to come to Pastor Neary's seminar tomorrow. He's going to talk to us men. And one of the issues you'll address should have been heard in this family, because when this young man was six, his father committed adultery. That's not only shame on the name of that father, but that opens the door, and Satan used that as an entering wedge. And every night after that, the dark man came to little Michael's room. Will he come back? Again, the scripture came to my mind, leave him and never enter him again. But I asked this young man, Michael, who'd been set free by the power of Jesus, about what was happening that night, feeling out of control, like something else was controlling him. You know what he told me? He said, when you came into the room, I wanted to hurt you. But I could not. Andrew was with me. He said, I wanted to hurt him too. But I could not. Because you were clothed with fire. I'd never read this quotation before. From a little book. Probably should read it more often, called The Sanctified Life. Listen to what it says. God smiles upon the humble and lowly ones who follow closely in the footsteps of the Master. Angels are attracted to them and love to linger about their path. They may be passed by as unworthy of notice by those who delight in making prominent their good works. But heavenly angels bend lovingly over them and are as a wall of fire around about them. Do you have children? There's someone who needs your prayer tonight. I have two sons, one in Yucaipa and one in Chattanooga, and they need my prayers tonight. When Satan comes upon them like a flood, I want them to be wrapped in a wall of fire. I don't want to take the whole evening talking. I'd like to take the evening praying. Can you think of someone who needs your prayers tonight? By the way, one of the young men who was praying in the stairwell several years before was a drug dealer in Florida. We accept reformed drug dealers at Southern Adventist University. Several years before, his brother, John Bullock, was a student at Southern. He was in a service like this, and he got up from the service and he walked out. And I saw that he was troubled, and I got up too, and I walked out with him. And I said to him, John, what's the matter? He said, I don't know, I just know that my brother Chris needs my prayers right now. There's someone who needs your prayers. And so I knelt down with John. Room 202. Probably took a class there, Daniel. And we knelt down together. I said, man, my brother needs prayers too. Brother living with a New Age psychic healer in New Zealand. He needs prayers too. We knelt down together and John prayed for his brother Chris. 2 or 3 years later, his brother Chris was sitting with me in that same room. He talked to me time and time again when the people were busted. He had left the house just a few... He should have been in jail many times over. He just graduated as pastor of the senior class at Southern Adventist University. Isn't God amazing? There is someone who needs your prayers. And when God brings that person to your mind tonight, you don't have to say, well, I don't know. He should be praying for himself. Or he made his bed, let him lie in it. May I remind you that Jesus was merciful to you? There is someone. What grade are you in? Someone in 8th grade. Who needs your prayers tonight? Some of you have children. And they're on their way to hell. And Jesus wants to snatch them from the fire. Doesn't He? And sometimes we feel like we might as well not pray because I'm not going to do any good. Wrong. So who needs your prayer tonight? Someone perhaps who isn't even praying for herself. And God wants to put a wall of fire about them. Isn't that an awesome thought? Satan wants to sift them like wheat. But someone tonight will stand in the gap and pray for them. I want you to just think. Maybe you already know who it is. You already know someone who needs your prayer tonight. Maybe your own daughter. Maybe your husband, your wife. Maybe your father, your mother. Someone in your class, someone at work who needs your prayer tonight. Now I just want to tell you that when you pray for the hedge of protection, when you pray for God to put that wall of fire about it, that does not mean that nothing bad will ever happen to the people that you pray for. Job prayed for the hedge of protection about his children. And what happened to them? They all got killed. Now God will have the final word, but Job did not. Born among women. Born of women. Greatest prophet. And Jesus will have the last word. September 2, this past Sunday, was the third anniversary of the downing of Swiss Air Flight 111. That may not mean too much to you, but one of the elders in my church had a son on that flight. Monty Wilkins, student at Walla Walla. Before Monty left to go to the Ontario, California airport, his family knelt down and they prayed for protection. They prayed that God would send His angels. I want to tell you this evening that God's angels were with Monty and with John the Baptist and with Jesus. The angels were with them even in their death. So I'm not saying to you that nothing difficult will ever happen, that no tragedy will ever strike, but I'm just appealing to you tonight that we can't afford to just be careless. There's someone who needs your prayers. And we're going to pray for them tonight. And Satan is going to lose tonight. And Jesus is going to win. Can you think of someone who needs your prayers tonight? You just slip to your knees. If you think of someone, you just slip to your knees. You bring them before the Lord. You ask the Lord to put a hedge about them. It's like a wall of fire about them. You just slip to your knees. You don't have to tell anybody else. If you're with a family member, you want to pray together for that person, that's okay. But it may be someone just for you. Maybe a friend that you know. You just slip to your knees now. You pray that God would put a hedge about them and keep them from Satan's cruel power. And then we'll be in silence together, and I'll lead us in a closing prayer. Thank you, Father in heaven, for the prayers that have ascended in Jesus' name to your throne. Thank you for bringing to our minds tonight those who needed our prayers. And I pray if that ever happens, that a person's name comes to our mind, a conviction to pray for them, we would not put that off to another day, but that we'd immediately bring them before your throne. Pray that you would bless them, that you would put a hedge about them. Some of them that we've prayed for tonight are not walking with you. We know that Satan would like to take their lives. Jesus called him a murderer. The Apostle Peter called him a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And while those may not be praying for themselves, we're thankful that you gave us the privilege tonight to pray for them. That you would protect them from Satan's cruel power. That by your holy angels you would put a wall of fire about them. that they might have the time, the opportunity to come to know you. The one who can give them life forever. I thank you tonight for the way that you've been merciful to each one here. There was someone who prayed for us, or we would not be here tonight. Thank you for their prayers. And I pray as we continue in this prayer conference this weekend that we might come to know you and to love you more than ever. That we might hear your invitation, ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Fill us with your joy, even tonight, in knowing that the prayers offered tonight, in Jesus' name, made a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And all God's people said,